You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north to Nahariya, down south Eilat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Haifa, and many, many more, Be'er Sheva to Ashdod. We're going to get to all those great places today. But interestingly enough, Roi Shalom, and we're going to be talking about soccer here today, Israeli teams, four of them, in Conference League second round first leg qualifiers, all taking place outside of Israel, which in itself is a rarity. Of course, you're listening to the Sports Rabbi at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, make sure you leave a five-star rating, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. We are at all those places. Roi Shalom, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. You know, it could have been much worse if we would have seen, you know, different scores. But the Israelis did a pretty good job. So, you know, that makes me happy.
Yeah, we can talk about which game should we start with? I guess we'll start with Maccabi Tel Aviv and Sutjeska. Maccabi Tel Aviv comes into this game as heavy favorites. It is away in Podgorica in Montenegro. Maccabi Tel Aviv's budget is probably like 50 times the amount of Sutjeska's is. And Sutjeska put a show on against Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv loses at Inkartsev in the second half to a second yellow card, which was really not a yellow card. The referees in actually all these games were fairly poor, at least three of the four that I really saw a lot of. They were not good. A lot of missed free kicks, a lot of this, a lot of that. Everything was poor about this Maccabi Tel Aviv game. I don't think they had enough quality chances. They looked like a tired team. They played sticky soccer on certain times with set plays. Avi Rikon was captaining the club as Captain Sharon Yeni has COVID right now. Daniel Peretz starts in goal in place of Daniel Tenenbaum because Tenenbaum has a back issue. You see a lot of youngsters playing. It looked like a team that has definitely not been around together for very long. And that's what's going to happen. This is typical July soccer. And next week, next Thursday night in Bloomfield Stadium, they're going to have to win the game. They don't have a choice. There's no away goals, no home goals, no away goals, no more away goals rule, 0-0 draw, dry. Listen, somebody that's watched Maccabi Tel Aviv for a number of years, it's a very disappointing result. But of course, I was at a very disappointing result from Maccabi Tel Aviv in Malta about 6 years ago when they lost 2-1 and they ended up making it to the Champions League group stages. So they can put it together. They're definitely a far better team than Sutjeska is. I'm sure that they're going to get by this team. They just have, you know, enough raw talent to do so. Daniel Peretz was okay, made a couple of key saves, especially near the end of the game. But that's my my 2 cents on Maccabi Tel Aviv's 0-0 draw.
Yeah, we didn't see anything special. The starting 11 was, you know, they started with Yonatan Cohen as the striker. We know that's not his first position. He'd rather play on the right wing. And he played with Jose and Guerrero. And in the middle was, you know, without Galassa, without, you know, Dol Peretz that left. Dan Glazer didn't start, and he wasn't 100%. And when he did play, he played great.
Yeah, he was very good.
But Maccabi was missing, you know, again, that playmaker in the middle, someone that will come get the ball, will find the, you know, the moving parts in the wings in Yonatan Cohen, but they just didn't have that, not with Avirika, not with Kaltsev, and especially not with Fiban. And, a really disappointing game for Maccabi Tel Aviv, the second, for me, the second I saw Khalaina come in, Kandil come in, I like the energy those guys brought the second they came in with Glazer, and they were missing Glazer. Dopets was the one last year that was leading the team, was giving the energy, and it seemed like they missed it today. Abiri, kind of the captain, didn't, fire up the guys. It felt like they were fine with it, of playing slow, and that's not the way to play against these teams, because the second you make these teams tired and you move them from side to side and move a bit more, you'll get a good chance to find a mistake. And they just didn't do it. They barely even shot the ball towards the goalkeeper, the Montenegrin goalkeeper.
My guess is Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to win next week, like 5-1 or something.
No.
Yes. I know last year they never won those games, but they should win. They should beat this team 5-1, and they should have easily beaten this, even with 10 men, even with 9 men, they should have scored. But I think they'll be playing on their own pitch. Who knows what the situation was with this pitch also. It's hard to tell. You get into these countries that are not, these stadiums, believe me, I've been to some of these locations in Europe before. I've seen them with my own eyes, and it's tough. Some of those fields are tough. Not a perfect situation.
No, you saw the ball was going really slow. The ball didn't, it seemed like the pitch was off. Also, I was looking at it, and I was like, are they going to adjust? Are they going to pass the ball harder? Because it seemed like they were, because of it, also playing slow. That's part of the game. You have to know the pitch as you come in, and it seemed like Patrick before the game in the press conference said, yeah, we know exactly what we came for. We know them exactly. We know the pitch. We know everything. And I didn't see him know, Maccabi wasn't surprised by anything. Let's not put it like that. But they didn't surprise the Montenegrin team. So just disappointing game. And they'll probably be all right next week. Let's put it right there, put it on and let's say it. They're going to be all right, but just the way they performed first game,
It wasn't
disappointing.
impressive. It wasn't. If you're a Maccabi Tel Aviv fan out there, you're a little bit disappointed right now. And now you also, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they never showed any of their preseason games right on TV. They blocked them out. They didn't want them broadcasted at all. Now we know why, because it would have probably put everybody to sleep. They didn't want to show the fans. They didn't want to show the fans how bad they were. No, they weren't. They weren't bad. I'm not. You know. I'm just. I'm just. They just they it was a very preseason-ish European game in the middle of July in one of these fine countries in Europe that the sports
Look,
rabbi has been to. So that's
I can say
that
this
was the
about
key.
Maccabi Tel Aviv. Their defense looks much better than their offense, and it seems like their defense is going to be the one, pretty much taking over this team. And if they'll get that goal offensively, that's what they need in the end. But the defense is going to be the anchor of this squad. It seems like it as of right now, because I don't know who scores. I don't know if Jonathan Cohen stays. It seems like he might leave once again. All week we just heard some Jonathan Cohen news, and he was substituted in the 60th minute before Guerrero today. So,
Whatever. It was what it was. I'll say the one thing that I did like that I saw was Osama Halala. He looks like a striker. He plays like a striker. He had one good chance on goal, didn't make it. Again, also the referees were just horrible. So I mean, Osama Halala, that is what I expected out of him. I'm looking forward to seeing how he's going to play this season. Want to see how the fans react to his presence on the pitch next week. That should be interesting also. But again, the ref, this is such a typical game. I don't know what else to say about it. It was just a very typical July. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah,
know?
the second qualifier of the Conference League. Let's put it out there. Just
now,
like that.
Now there was another 0-0 draw. We're going to go to that next in Azerbaijan in Baku. Ashdod visited Karabag, and I got to tell you, it was a brilliant display of soccer by Ron Ben Shimon's team. I mean, he literally had a brilliant display and was able to basically take a team that was in the Europa League group stages last year, who played against Maccabi Tel Aviv, who is a stalwart in Europe. I'm not saying one of the great teams, but this is a very good team, and he stymied them. I mean, he literally stymied them. They did not play well whatsoever, Karabag. Ashdod had a game plan. They went in. They executed it to absolute perfection. And Ron Ben Shimon's the happiest person, other than probably Jackie Ben Zaken, of course, the owner of the club. But they're going to go back now to their stadium in Ashdod with a chance to move on to the third round of Conference League qualifying, which is impressive. I mean, who would have ever thought? If you looked at these four games today, this is, I think, the most surprising result of them all. I would have never thought that. You know, Ashdod, they have a lot of new players, a lot of youngsters over there, knows what he's in for. But now that they're going, 0-0 back to Ashdod, that's a good result. And I can definitely see Ashdod taking a slim 1-0 win and going to that third round.
That's a total W for Ron Ben Shimon. A total W for me. You know, they weren't good, but you know, they executed. They stopped Karabakh. They didn't allow them to get a lot of chances. And in the one or two chances they did have, Gerasi came clutch, and he was there. And we know. When he has that confidence, he's one of the better goalkeepers in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So he came big for the club. And, it's just a great, great result for them. But, also with them, I heard a crazy stat that 30 goals from last year, something like that, with Din David, Goldana, Shlomi Azulay, all of those leaving the club this summer, Ron Ben Shimon will need to find, those 30 goals.
Somewhere.
He'll need to find someone to score. Yeah, someone to score it. And it seemed today that they didn't really have that guy. But, they just need to surprise somehow. They need, what they need? They're so good in set pieces. It's so weird to say it about an Israeli team, but if they get a good set piece, a good chance, in Ashdod, that we know every team in Israel, Maccabi Tel Aviv and Haifa and Be'er Sheva, every time they go to Ashdod, everyone knows how hard it is to play over there. Now, I don't know how good are the pitches in Azerbaijan? So they,
I think it was a good. I think that was a good pitch. They played in a real stadium.
No, specifically in Baku, it's a really good one. But in the league, so they might know places like Ashdod, like the Yudal FC.
Right,
but
they may be familiar with pitches like that.
Yeah. So again, it's an advantage. It's going to be a great, great. Game, and I'm really waiting for it, because that would be a huge surprise and a great way to start a season. And also people don't really talk about it, but the importance of teams going up stages in the European soccer, if it's in the Conference League, if it's Champions League, whatever it is, Europa League, it's really crucial for Israel. If Israel wants to be, in the Champions League or even in the Europa League, they're far from it. I saw something about we need about 4 points to Switzerland, and 4 points is a lot. So if we can see, somehow Ashdod go up, maybe two teams in the group stage, even three teams, that would be amazing. And you know, you need to start from it now. And we have good enough teams with Be'er Sheva coming back, Haifa, and Maccabi Tel Aviv that they all should be in the group stage, especially with the way I saw Be'er Sheva today.
Mm-hmm. So let's move over to Be'er Sheva right now, okay? I think that's a good place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Be'er Sheva, 2-0 winners over Arda in Bulgaria, Mariano Barrera, and Dor Mikha score second-half goals. From what I saw of this game, Be'er Sheva really dominated. I don't think Arda really created very much. Roni Levi has his players. He has his team. You know, he just has a very good squad and a very solid veteran squad. If you really look at the players that were out there today, he has he has Ariel Harush in goal right now, which is an Israeli national team player. You have Itai Schachter, Abu Abid, Miguel Vitor, Eitan Tibi, David Keltens, Gordana, Barrero, Eugene Ansah, who I like, Ramzi Safuri. That's a good team. They're a good team. And they did what they had to do. Chad v'chalak, they easily, in my opinion, took care of Arda and did what they needed to do in fine fashion and are well on their way of moving on to the next round.
Yeah, and they played against a tough opponent. If you see the different opponents, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa played today, I think, you know, Karabakh is a different story. But between those three teams, the Bulgarian squad is the toughest. And, you know, they really surprised me, Be'er Sheva, especially under Roni Levi, that we haven't seen his teams play this good. And it's really early, and it seems like the veterans are fresh. Eugene Ansah, I said it also last show, that I think he's going to be a huge X factor for this team, and he's going to break out. And he assists a beautiful goal to Dol Mikha, that really an amazing goal by Dol Mikha that just came in a couple of minutes before, and just a volley shot. Punched it in for the second goal, and that was a crucial second goal.
Yes,
because this team, you know, the Bulgarian squad, they might give trouble for Be'er Sheva even on the road, but this second goal is just such a
gives them breathing
such
room.
It's a lot of breathing room for them and for Roni Levi and his squad, and you know, it seems like they're in the best spot to go up to the next. Round, to the third qualifying round, and now we have expectations out of them, because I didn't know what to expect of this team. There's a lot of new pieces, and it seems like they clicked pretty quickly. So good to see that, and it seems like it's much more quieter over there without Josue. And it seems like they're only thinking about soccer these days and nothing else. And it's not even a possibility. So it's good to see that. And hopefully they'll be able to make a push like they made last year in the Europa League, just under a new coach and some new players, but, you know, same goals.
All right, let's move over to the fourth game. Maccabi Haifa visits Dynamo Tbilisi in Georgia. They are victorious 2-1. Omer Atsili in the first half, Dean David in the second half. They give up a goal in the 88th minute, which in my opinion was a killer, sloppy, totally unnecessary. Maccabi Haifa did not play a super-duper game. They did what they had to do, and then they folded like a cheap suit over the last 20 minutes of the game, and they paid for it. And they paid for it in spades with a goal. And not only one goal, there could have easily been two or three goals, and they kind of lucked out. They kind of lucked out. In my opinion, they were lucky. They were very, very lucky. This game could have really gone the other way. And, they, you know, on one hand, I would say it's a disappointing result. On the other hand, well, it's a good result. They won 2-1 on away, and they have their home game in Sammy O for next week. And, you know, they should get by Dynamo Tbilisi. It shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't, you know, shouldn't be a problem. The pitch was good there in Tbilisi. Good stadium, big stadium. But if I'm a Maccabi Haifa fan, I'm concerned. I don't like what's going on. I'm not happy with the way my team looks. And I'm not happy, especially near the end of the game, how the team looked. I'm very not happy about that. And a team that has quality should not be giving up a goal in the 88th minute. Now, I know they made some substitutions. They took out Bogdan Planich. They took out Dolev Khaziza in the 80-something minute. They took out Tyrone Cherry. So they, you know, they brought in some other players there, but still – can't happen. You cannot give up an 88th goal like that in the first leg of a two-legged tie in conference league qualifying.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Haifa defense doesn't look good. As much star quality that they have up front and in the midfield up, their defense just looks really bad. We saw it last week and the week before, and it seems, you know, Tbilisi has an okay offensive team. They're horrible on the defense also as well, but, you know, Maccabi Haifa can't allow those type of goals. They can't allow, you know, this type of showing defensively. And I don't know what Barak Bakhla needs to do to get his guys together. You know, they did bring in some new players, but right now this defensive unit just isn't enough for Maccabi Haifa. Now, if you look in the Israeli League, for the Israeli League, it will be all right, probably. But for Europe, you know, this, you know, it's not going to be enough. And they might have tougher opponents coming ahead. After not this game, not the Tbilisi game, and not the one after, but, you know, next round, if they really want to qualify, their defense needs to step up. And, you know, and one good thing about this team and something that might be even a bit scary about this team is if they score early, they're in a good position. They usually play better. We saw it also last year. The second they score the first 20 minutes, they get into a groove and they usually play well, and they get usually that second goal. And we saw that today with Dean David scoring his first goal with Maccabi Haifa. So congrats to him for that. But they just, you know, the second they don't score early, that's when they have that problem when they're slow, as we talked about Maccabi Tel Aviv. So today they did it. Today Atsidi scored in the 8th minute and he set the tone. But if they don't set the tone, that this team has a really, really tough, they're in a bad situation. And Barak Bakhla needs to, you know, this is already the second year, he should fix it already. And have, you know, if you don't score in the first 20 minutes, you need to find the way, the tempo to score later in the first half, or early in the second half. So hopefully they'll get that together. Hopefully they'll be able to play faster as they know. The first goal was a nice goal by Atsidi. They will go get past Tbilisi, but that's my concern from a Maccabi Haifa right now, is that defensive unit and what happens if they don't score early. And you know what? If they don't score early in Sami Ofel with the fans behind them, and, you know, Tbilisi somehow scores as they did today in the same way, because that's how Tbilisi is going to score, or by a Haifa mistake, a lot of pressure is going to be on Maccabi Haifa, and I don't know if they'll be able to handle it.
You can't give up a goal in the 80th minute. You just can't. You've got to close the door, shut it hard, and just move on. You just can't. You know, can't do it. All right. Of course, we're under with Roy Shalom talking about all the Israeli soccer news. Just broke down the four conference league qualifiers. Let's move on to one of our favorite teams, Roy Shalom. And you had so many great things to say about this club, saying how impressed you were and how happy you were and how well they're doing and how just how they're doing everything quietly. But nothing ever is so quiet at Beitar Jerusalem for some reason or another. There's always some kind of action. They actually played a 0-0 draw with AEK in an exhibition game earlier on Thursday. They were supposed to play Barcelona on the 4th of August. But, of course, that game was canceled. Why was it canceled? Well, there's all different types of thoughts as to why it was canceled. I think officially it was canceled because Barcelona did not want to play in Jerusalem. The owner, Moshe Hogeg, said he will not play the game anywhere else but Jerusalem. And he was the one that put the kibosh on the game and said, thanks, but no thanks. We are not interested in having you come to the Holy Land to play Beitar in any other city. And that was the end of Barcelona or dreaming of Leo Messi coming to play in the Holy Land. Roy Shalom, Beitar Jerusalem, what's going on?
You know, they're still not scoring any goals. They didn't score any goals.
Oh, they can't score. It's like pathetic.
Yeah, so that wasn't great, but they did score. They did score. I was about to say the score, but they did bring in a new striker. And, you know,
that has how many goals? Yeah,
he didn't score a lot, maybe. But this guy can score. He did score with Red Star a couple of years back. So, you know, hopefully Richmond Bouaki is his name if you want to check him out from Ghana. He's the new striker. And you know what? I did like it. I did like the signing. And it seems like he's a player that will help Beitar. The question is if Beitar will have someone to give it to him. Because it seemed like in Red Star a couple of years back, he couldn't stop scoring. So hopefully he remembers how to do it. But because it's been a couple of years since that moment. And it looked like Beitar Jerusalem. It didn't look like it. We see it in the scores. Beitar Jerusalem needs someone to score because they don't have it right now with whoever was at their training camp. But they're coming back, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But I don't know. Like, the whole Barcelona part, the Barcelona part was just too much for me. It seemed like it would never happen.
Did we ever really believe it was going to happen? Like, you know, let's be honest.
No, probably not. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
You know what we should do? We should somewhat like bring like every week, just guess something that might happen with Beitar Jerusalem and like scale it in the end of the season. If we hit something,
the Sheik.
Like the Sheik, like Barcelona, you know, like I don't even know what anymore. You know, the Yossi Mizrahi transfer, like the report, you know, everything. We should like just, I don't know. You know what? Let's be bold. Coleman is going to stay until the end of the season.
Okay. That's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
That's a very bold prediction.
Or you know what? Yaden Shua finishing as the top scorer in the Israeli league. Wow.
Well, those are quite the predictions.
But it's like predicting Barcelona is going to play Beitar Jerusalem. So, you know, it might happen, probably won't, but, you know, let's do bold stuff. So, you know, that's my two things with Beitar Jerusalem this week, but a bit seriously about them. You know, they didn't allow goals, or at least in the last one. So I take that. They did look better. Their games were televised here in Israel. So hopefully, you know, that brings some excitement for their fans. I know their fans are not buying season tickets right now, and everything is going slow for them. So I hope it does, because we love the Beitar fans. Because when the team is good, they know to be there for them. But if not, it's just going to be a big mess. And so far, Chogeg, you know, I was about to say,
they're trying to have all these season ticket schemes. They're the first team to ever have a home and away season ticket, and they're this and they're that. Oh, you need like a master's degree to figure out what they're trying to do with those ticket schemes. I looked at them. I'm like, what's going on here? Oh man, yeah. I'll tell you, there's never a dull moment when it comes to Beitar Jerusalem, Roy Shalom, right? Never a dull moment.
No, never.
It could never be. It's just not allowed. There's always has to be some kind of action, right? Let's move. Yeah. Of course, we're on here with Roy Shalom breaking down all the action in Israeli soccer. Let's shift over to Israelis abroad. And where should we start? Do we start with Leo Abada making his debut, scoring in Celtic?
Oh, for sure.
Or do we start with Eran Zahavi scoring a hat trick and picking up an assist? What should we pick? Let's go with Leo Abada. Leo Abada signs contract, Celtic, comes from Maccabi Petah Tikva. What does he do in his debut? Scores a goal. Now, could you be any happier for the guy? Could you really, you know, everything worked out so perfectly for him. He scores a goal. Maybe he's going to score two. But then, unfortunately, the other Israeli, Nir Biton, on Celtic, decided to do something very foolish and find his way off the pitch with a red card, which he then apologized for on Instagram. But the damage was done when he was, taken off the pitch for the red card. That meant that they needed to bring in a defensive player. Leo Abada was then taken out and subbed off. Unfortunately, I'm sure he was not happy about that, but definitely happy to score that goal. I mean, very excited for him. I think he has a great future. Nir Biton, on the other hand, not quite excited for him having a great future there.
Yeah, the fans weren't happy, and that's like a nice word with what happened with Nir Biton and Celtic fans.
They're not happy.
But I was also let's start with this. I was really surprised to see Leo Abada start for Celtic in this game, because it seemed like he would get in there slow and integrate, and let's see what happens, and let's see this kid. And just out of the gate, he gets the chance to show off, and he was one of the best players on the pitch when he was on. He was dynamic, he was explosive, he was dangerous, and that's why he also scored that the only goal for Celtic in that game. What an amazing start for him. When you're a kid and you go to a new country and new culture, and we talked about it, of Celtic being a good place for him and for his career as a soccer player. So, he couldn't ask for more. Now the fans will have expectations, because for now, every game he plays, he scores. That's the stat as of right now. So we'll see what happens next game, and probably that will end at some point. And that's my bold prediction about Leo Abada, that he won't score every game. But what a great start. He has such a bright future, and I'm sure he's going to get so much better in Celtic. And just a really, really good purchase for them.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's
exciting. It's really super exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited, so, really. I can't say anything more. It's just excellent.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get to the Champions League. They usually drop out, somewhere around the qualifying, the last qualifying, the playoffs. So, if we will see Leo Abada in Europe, if it's in the Europa League, if it's hopefully in the Champions League, that would be a huge stage for him. And we're going to enjoy so much, because we just we got to learn from Manol Solomon, and now we're also having that with Eran Zehavi, of these amazing moments of Israelis abroad, and you know how much they make us proud. And that moment for the Yellow Ballet to score in the first game in Celtic, just
super exciting. The problem is that they only got a 1-1 draw. It's so typical of Celtic. Such a bunch. It's so typical. When's the last time Celtic played in the Champions League? Honestly, do you know the answer to that question?
I don't.
So we'll find that out. We'll find that out after we talk about Eran Zahavi, okay? How about Eran Zahavi? They got rid of Daniel Malin, right? He's going to sign, it looks like, with Dortmund, I believe, and he's going to transfer there for 30 million euros. That's a nice job. PSV got rid of him because they know that he and Zahavi couldn't play together. And what did Zahavi do playing his first game without Malin by his side? Well, he only scored 3 goals and picked up 1 assist against Galatasaray. The Fenerbahce fans were thrilled. They were thrilled, and it was bittersweet. On one hand, they were thrilled to see Galatasaray getting a beatdown. On the other hand, they certainly wished that Eran Zahavi was playing for their club. But he is just magnificent. I mean, the guy is just so good. I mean, really, I tell you, Roy Shalom, I was talking about this with one of my boys, right? Is there anybody other than Ronaldinho, which we saw live in his prime? I don't know of any other striker that I've seen live that has been just so exciting. Now, granted, yes, Ronaldo's amazing, Messi and all that, but Eran Zahavi is a specimen of a player. It is just absolutely tremendous. The adjectives are endless for the way he plays soccer.
Yeah, and it was an incredible performance. And we talked a couple of months back about the whole situation with him and PSV and everything that happened to his family, and I was sure he's gonna come back to Israel after what happened, and he fought through it. He said, you know what, I'm not gonna give a hand to what happened and just leave here like that. And he was waiting for the first time to play with the fans in the stands, and that was on Wednesday. And he said the second he came in for that warm up, he felt something amazing. And he said that we know Eran Zahavi and how emotional and how he plays with fans, and we also know without fans. But with the fans in the stands, he's just a different animal for me. He's just he didn't really have that in China. And now having, since Maccabi, pretty much, he hasn't had that feeling of, a full stadium and just showing what he can do live. As you said, when you watch him live, he's just, you look at him because you're like, in the second goal, it was an incredible goal, first of all, a great team play from the midfield all the way until Zahavi pretty much just booted it in. But when you look at him, he was running with the player that assisted the ball to him in the end. But they were running on the same line on the right, and in a sec, he just went in, and he knew exactly where to be. Exactly. And when I looked at that play, I saw it for so many times because you understand how much he understands the game and understands exactly where to be. And that's what's the beauty about Eran Zahavi, as you said. It's just he knows exactly where to be, and he'll just punch it in because he just has the feel for the back of the net. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and he has a nose for the goal. I mean, the guy just... he's always in the right. There are players like that just have, like Wagner Love, for example, right? Guy is like almost 100 years old, and he knows how to, he knows where to put the ball, he knows where to get the ball, he knows where to be, he sees how the play is going to unfold, and he's in the right spot at the right time to pick up a goal every single time.
Yeah.
It's a talent. It's an absolute talent.
And his assist to Mario Götze was just was just, you know, Mario Götze said that was one of the this is the second best assist in my career. This guy played with the German national team and played with Dortmund, and he had a stint with Bayern, so he was around some pretty good players. He had some pretty big moments, and he said that that was one of the, you know, the most beautiful and accurate passes he's gotten in his career. And if you didn't get to see it, you have to, because that was also a no-look touch pass to Götze that just fooled the Turkish defenders. They were like, what is going on? How did that ball get through? And, you know, I'm just happy for him, because he wanted to show the fans that he is worth what he's worth. And they got to see it in first sight. And, you know, everyone's just waiting for him. And even the press in the Netherlands that has been so critical about him this past year, they were just raving about him after this game.
Well, could you got to rave. I mean, he's just phenomenal. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. I mean, it's just, he's just fantastic. Roy Schellen, did we hit all the main points for this week? Is there something that the Sports Rabbi didn't touch here? Was it Hapoel Tel Aviv and their preparations? Maccabi Netanya with their preparations? Kiryat Shmona, I believe they won 3-0 today in their preparations. Bnei Sakhnin, I don't hear much from them. But I think it was Maccabi Bnei Reina, or whatever they're called. But they played Atalanta this week, right? That's pretty cool.
We need to talk about that. The whole situation of, you know, them playing in their training camp. They just went up from the third division in Israel to the Liga Lumi, the second division. And, you know, out of nowhere, they got this friendly game against Atalanta. The head of the club said, you know, you need a lot of protection, we call it in Israel. You know, a lot of I don't even, what's the word for protection in, you know,
I don't even, vitamin P.
Exactly.
You needed some vitamin P. There you go.
Yep.
You needed to have connections. So, connections.
The connections, exactly. So I don't know the connection between Atalanta to Bnei Reina. You know, and if they have those connections, so, you know, get me those connections as well. But they led for most of the game until the 90th minute, and that's when they allowed the tying goal and finished in a 1-1 draw. But what a, you know, if they'll play Atalanta again for 100 times, I don't think it's going to finish 1-1.
Not in a million years.
But you know what? That's some Israeli, you know, Israeli second division team finished in a 1-1 draw with Atalanta. I'm trying to just put it in a sentence, and I'm trying not to laugh, but it's crazy. Even if they played their third team, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Just the two names. You know, we like to laugh here about our Israeli teams playing, we call it the fisherman squads, and the first qualifying Europa League, whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes they do. There were a couple of times they lost, and, you know, we always half laugh and half cry about it. And you know, this is pretty much it. I don't want to say Bnei Reina is a fisherman's team, but compared to Atalanta, we talked about if Maccabi has a 50 times salary over the Montenegrin team, I don't even know the differences over there, but I think it's bigger. So just, you know, they deserve a shout out to them. So good call, because we almost forgot those guys.
It's really amazing.
And they got some free shirts, some free Atalanta shirts in the end. So
yes, you know, they did. So that's always good.
And they deserve them. You know what? They deserve them.
Boy, and I deserved having the opportunity to schmooze with you about all the latest in Israeli soccer action. Roei Shalom, where can people find you, my good friend?
So you can find me at R. Shalom on Twitter. Feel free to send a message. You know, you can also talk on the Sports Rabbi's Twitter page. So, you know, leave your comments, you know, tag me. And we'll speak about the next couple of games, what's coming ahead for our Israeli teams, and hopefully we'll see them in the next round. I'm sure we're gonna talk about it next week. But just, you know, getting that Israeli action back, it's just so much fun. And you know, today was a fun day for Israeli soccer lovers, because it felt like a football day. In the States, you know, a Sunday, it's pretty much the same thing. And there were two starts. There was the 7 o'clock start and there was the 9 o'clock start. You know, I liked it. I don't know.
They staggered the games nicely. 7, 7:30, 9:30. Next week, three games start at 7:45 and Maccabi Tel Aviv plays at 8:15 Israel time. So on Thursday night. So there's plenty of stuff going on. Plus we're going to have the Israelis at the Olympics. That starts up as well. SportsRabbi.com, we're going to have all kinds of stuff. In English, we are covering the Olympics up and down and all around with the Israeli team, baseball, swimming, archery, athletics. We're going to have judo, of course. We're going to have all the results over there. So you want to make sure you follow that. We have a lot of great guests, Roei Shalom. We've had on the Sports Rabbi podcast over the last week and a half, we have moved from episode number 200, and this is episode number 206. We had Jonathan Macri on of Nick's Film School. He was just on with us. He was on 205. You can check him out. That was a lot of fun, good conversation about his Nick's empire. Right before him, we had former NBA player. I'm sure he'd like to play in the NBA again. I don't know if he will make it back to the NBA, but it's Jason Thompson. He came on board to talk about Omri Caspi, who just retired. So you want to listen to one of Omri Caspi's former teammates, Sacramento Kings, Jason Thompson. He was a lot of fun. He was good stuff on episode 204. Definitely highly recommend listening to that show. I think, you know, Jason was just fantastic. Great guest and a lot of fun to be with. We've had a lot of good guests. Episode 200 was Jimmy Traynor from Sports Illustrated. He talks about the media. He has a great media podcast, which I highly recommend. A lot of fun listening to him. It was get one guest after the next here with the Sports Rabbi. Like, never ends. Yep. And we have some great guests coming up next week. Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to – I can't even tell you. But we have some
Come on.
No, I can't say. You know, I want to make sure people tune in.
But, you know, you can give us, like, this small, you know.
Okay, a little hint? Okay. One hint. One, we're going to be talking to somebody – that works for a major American-based media outlet about the NBA draft and the playoffs. He has his own podcast on a very large network. So I enjoy his podcast very much. He's usually on once a week, but you may kind of hear him a couple times on different shows as well. So that's one guest coming up. Looking forward to that. The next guest is somebody that is very close to the Greek Freak, somebody that documented Giannis Antetokounmpo over the last couple of years, and it's just perfect timing that this guest will be on with the Sports Rabbi, and this person, who I will not say if it's male or female, but this person has written for almost every major American outlet and is one of, in my opinion, one of the best writers, been one of the best sports writers, biographers, somebody that really can get into people. She is Dahl had articles about LaMelo Ball. She's followed him all the way to Australia. I just said she. Uh-oh. So I already gave it away.
That's it.
I already gave it away. You see, I said she. I gave it away. Then this person documented the Greek Freak by going to Greece. It's going to be a great show. So we're really super looking forward to that as well. You know, the Sports Rabbi also had a great guest in Jonathan Mayo. He was on too. He was on also this week on episode 203. We talked about the Major League Baseball draft where two Orthodox Jewish players, Jacob Steinmetz and Ellie Kligman, were drafted.
That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that a great story?
That was nuts.
Yeah, plus we also talked about the Israel baseball team in the Olympics, which is they have a 50% chance of winning a medal. Sports Rabbi also had Tom Bilotto on as the next prospect. He focuses on Americans hooping abroad. So that was fun. He has a great website with some pretty good interviews over there.
You're having so much fun without me. You know what? I'm just writing that down, and we'll speak about that later. So,
Before I let you go, also, we have tons of articles in English and in Hebrew, basketball-wise. Interview with Roman Sorkin, that's up in both English and Hebrew. He just signed with Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball. With the under-20s are playing in a challenger tournament in Crete. We have all the stuff over there in Hebrew. We have some interviews. Oren Amiel, he was just named to pole Jerusalem coach. We were at his opening press conference. That was fun. We've got that in English and Hebrew. We have all kinds of interviews. Do you want to read an interview the Sports Rabbi did with Sagi Mukhi? It's also on sportsrabbi.com. Want an article about Leonoy Astrom? That's there too. Have a Josh Zeid, baseball player at the Olympics? Sports Rabbi's got them also. So the bottom line is, if you need anything about Israeli sports, Jewish sports, Israel Olympics, you know the place to go to Rabbi Shalom is sportsrabbi.com in English and in Hebrew. You will have the best. And you can reach out to me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Rabbi Shalom, an honor and pleasure to have you on board. We'll have you on again next week after the quartet of games. If you had to guess right now, how many of the four teams are making it through to the next stage?
And then we're gonna three.
Okay. That, I was even going to push it to four. I was going to push it four.
That's bold. You know what? That's bold. Let's put, you know, I've done enough bold predictions today, but I'll take that. I'd rather see all of those than the other ones I was bringing out today. So if we can see four Israeli teams go up to the next round, that would be incredible.
Yeah, that's what the Sports Rabbi is thinking, that they're going to get through. Ashdod is going to get by Karabag. That's the one questionable, in my opinion. That's the one questionable game. But I think they're going to make it through. I think that Ron Benjamin is going to make it through. And I think that's going to be a real statement win for him. Rabbi Shalom.
100%.
An honor and a pleasure to have you on board. We'll speak to you next week.